Welcome to the LifeCast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to look at a couple of places of Scripture this morning, but I felt just to take a moment before we go into praise and worship to the Lord. In song and, like I said, other expressions. And if you're visiting this morning, you're going to see as we worship and praise the Lord this morning here and sing songs, you're going to see some other expressions of praise and adoration of the Lord. You might see some hands raised. You might even see some people get out of their seat. This happens randomly. They come and they stand kind of across the front during this time of praise and singing. And some kneel. You might even notice down the pew, somebody just kind of sits there and it's not that they're not participating, but they sit there and maybe they're praying. You might even see a few tears in this place this morning. And I want you to know there's a variety of expressions, physical expressions, that just kind of happen as we focus and acknowledge the Lord. And if you're visiting this morning or that's something foreign to you or new to you, don't want you to be alarmed by it. I just want you to know that you're in a room with a number of people who have discovered to a great depth God's grace and kindness, because all of us have a history, and not all of us are real pleased with our history. There's some things that, you know, if we were allowed a measure of arrogance, we might brag about, but there's a whole lot of, well, there's a list of things that we can look at in our history that we wish would have never happened. Things we've said, things we've done, things we've been a part of. Even to the point that sometimes we're so unhappy with them, we try to make it other people's fault that we did things. But the fact of the matter is, we make our own choices, all of us. And so are things in all of our past that we feel guilty about, we feel bad about, we have regret about. The Bible says that we've all sinned. I've sinned. And we fall short of God's standard or God's glory. And the wages of sin, in other words, when we sin, there's a payday for it. That's the truth. We can't get away from it. And it says the wages or the payment of sin is death. But, and here's the great transition in Scripture when Paul wrote, what I'm telling you is a Scripture verse. Paul wrote this. There's this but, this great transition. It's like, here, the wages of sin is death. And it's like, oh, no, that's all I've got to look forward to is an eternal death and a separation from God and hell. And then Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit, writes this great word, but. It's like getting bad news, kind of going like this, and then somebody says, but, and you go, wait, you mean there's hope? And Paul writes, but. The gift of God is eternal life, the very opposite of death. And it's found in Jesus Christ. He came and took the payment and made the payment for my sin and yours. And when we put personal faith in him, that is applied to our account. And now we have forgiveness of all that stuff. Our mind might remember, but we no longer live under the influence and the condemnation of our mistakes and our sin. And so Paul wrote it that way. And so when we look at worship this morning, people who are touched by his grace and kindness, sometimes we give a physical expression. Something happens inwardly and we can't help it. It's just like when something happens inwardly in another area of your life, like somebody hurts you or ticks you off inside, you know, this expression comes out. Or like when something great happens, or, you know, your team won the Super Bowl. Most of you. The others of you, your team didn't even make it there. Anyhow, you know, you jump out of the chair, you yell, you scream. I'm going to tell you something. It just comes out. It's not like something you have to think about. It's this response that we have because something great happens. Listen, I want you to know that there was a little bit of noise when the Packers won, but there's a whole lot of noise when Clay Matthews makes a play. my wife is one of his biggest fans.
Amen.
So, anyhow, you know, we have this response to things that happen in our life. Well, when it comes to the real meaningful things, the same thing kind of happens. Faith is personal, but sometimes there is this display whether people are around or not, because the focus is on God. And so you might see people during praise and worship this morning have these different responses because they've realized, I've been forgiven. This is way bigger than a Super Bowl. This is way bigger than some menial thing that ticked me off or got me upset. Or this is way bigger than some blessing that happened in my life. The real blessing is eternal life, and I can be saved from my sin. And so you're going to see people in this room this morning with different expressions. Some are a little more demonstrative, it's okay. Some are a little more reserved, it's all right. But there is an expression outwardly of what has happened inwardly. This realization that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and He is the friend of sinners, and He knows how to forgive, and He knows how to untangle our life, the mess we found ourselves in, He knows how to set us free. And you know what? So the response is, wow! Hallelujah, or thank God, or boy, I'm grateful, or I don't know all the religious words, I just want to tell you thanks. You look in the scripture, this happened all the time. People came back and said thanks. People bowed down before Jesus. A woman breaks open expensive perfume to just show her gratitude for the forgiveness of sin in her life. Things like this happen all the time. Granted, we live in a little different culture, and you know, we feel like we're a little more civilized, and we got to be a little more reserved, and we got, you know. But this morning, you'll see in this place, people have tasted of the grace and mercy of God, and so you know what? We provide a liberty, an appropriate liberty for expressions of worship to the Lord. And so, if you have personal faith in Christ, we just ask you to join in. If you don't have a personal faith in Christ, I want you to know that you can change that, even now as I'm talking to you. You just got to say, God, I want to have something like that happen in my life. I want to know what it is to be forgiven. If we're honest with God, He never turns us away. Listen, I don't care what your sin is this morning or what baggage you carry. Nothing is too difficult for God. And if we just come clean and honest with Him, He's faithful to forgive us of all our transgressions, all our sins, all our unrighteousness, all our deceit, all our iniquity. That's what the Bible says. If we confess, He's faithful. So you don't have to hide it anymore from God, because He could see it anyhow, just a little side note. And so we're going to enter into a time of praise and adoration, and you're going to see those kinds of expressions. But I want to read to you from Hebrews chapter 13, one of the places we're going to look at. Verse 15 of Hebrews 13, it says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Parents in this room, if you're a parent, you get to taste a little bit of sacrifice because you love your kids, even when they drive you around the bend and just you, what were they thinking? I'll tell you what they were thinking, the same thing you were thinking when you were their age. And so, yet you love them. And you make sacrifices for them. It costs in a variety of ways to have children, and yet, you know what? You're glad to do it. You're glad to do it. You know, if you just look at maybe just even the monetary part of this, you make sacrifices so that they can be involved. You make sacrifices so that they can have. You make sacrifices so they can be blessed, so they can have opportunity. You make sacrifice. Maybe you pick up a second job. Maybe you take from what you would really like to have yourself and it goes over into the kids' fund. Not like there's a fund, it's just this, you're an ATM. Okay? They push your buttons and you spit out money. It's true. I mean, I've, you know, three daughters and a son. And I won't say who, but there's one of them that they push buttons. And they put on a baby voice. And they blink their eyes like this. It's not my son. Hey, I better clarify. It's not my son. That'll push my buttons, but not the money button. He does that, the smackdown is coming, I'm telling you right now. And they baby voice and they blink, and I know it's coming. They want something. You can guess all you want. I'm not going to tell you which one it is. Don't waste your time guessing, okay, because it really doesn't matter. You be concerned about the one in your home, okay? If you want to be concerned with mine, then I'm going to send them to you and they can push your buttons and you can spit out money. We sacrifice for our kids. Sometimes you as kids, you sacrifice for your parents. Maybe a sacrifice for a sibling. I remember being in my first year of university, training for ministry. And I remember the day I got this envelope from home. And there was a note in it. And there was, I'm trying to remember if it was $1 or $2. And at that time, my brother, who was younger than me, was in grade school. He stayed after school, cleaned the boards, banged the erasers. That's back in the day where they had those. I don't know if you still use those. You know, and he stayed after and did that, and the teacher gave him $1 or $2. And he went and did that with the intent that what he got back, he was going to send to his older brother in college because he needed money. I remember that. He's just a kid, but we make sacrifices for friends or for family. Sometimes it's not a sacrifice of money, it's a sacrifice of labor, or it's an inconvenience. And we sacrifice what we'd rather be doing or what we need to do for something that right now we're placing as a higher importance. And we make those sacrifices. We do it. Sometimes we, you know, sacrifice has to, you know, it implies that something hurts. Something dies. You know, Old Testament sacrifice, something died. Otherwise, it wasn't a sacrifice. And so we die to ourself. Get it? We die to what we want at the moment or what we would like or what we need. We sacrifice it so that someone else can have it. Whether it's friendship, encouragement, a rescuing, money, assistance of some sort, we sacrifice for their betterment. We read this verse, and it says that we continually offer up sacrifices to God. Let me ask you something. When we understand sacrifice in the context of family or kids or parent or friend, we get that. But what have you and I sacrificed? Because we're supposed to continually offer up sacrifices. Not for our sin. Jesus did that. But we're still called to offer up sacrifices to God. Or do we forget about that? Jesus sacrificed for my sins. I'm glad for salvation. And now I sacrifice for people and other friends and all. I kind of die to myself a little bit here and there. And you know, that's good. But what do we still bring to God that we sacrifice? It's says we're supposed to continually offer up sacrifices to God, or do we just think, well, God's a little more gracious, and besides, he's invisible to my eye? And we forget about this principle. We forget about it in Western civilization, that's for sure. We're supposed to continue to offer up sacrifices to God. Well, he's more gracious. You know, it's like you're trying to do something different, or you're saving for something, but your kid wants something or needs something, and so you take and you sacrifice and you do that. What about that with God? It's easy for us to sacrifice $20 for the kid, but what about when we're supposed to sacrifice $20 above and beyond our tithes and give it to missions? Well, God's gracious. Well, the church is doing okay. Ah, blah, 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 blah. And we start to go through our list to justify why we're not sacrificing. It's not about the amount, it's about the principle. And it's not just about money. I'm just using that for an example because it's something that we quickly relate to. But where do we sacrifice from our life to worship the Lord? What are we offering up to him? Do we volunteer? Do we help? Do we assist? Do we go out of our way? And not in official ministry, but even on a personal level during the week. It says that we're to continue to offer up sacrifices to God. And then it says, sacrifices of praise. The fruit of lips. It's interesting, the things that we say, the praise to God. Have you ever walked into a place and life is rough and you wonder, I'm supposed to praise God? Look at all the bad stuff that's happening. I don't even know if he's paying attention to my life. If we're going to praise God based upon circumstances, our praise is going to continually change. We're supposed to praise God because he's God. He's worthy. Sacrifice what we feel, what we think, and base it upon the faith and the fact that God is. That's sacrificing our personal feelings. It's sacrificing our preoccupations. It's sacrificing our reputation. It's sacrificing what people will think of us. It's sacrificing all of this, that it's not about me, that it is about him. That's praise. That's the fruit of our lips. And listen, it's not about just going through the motions and the words that are up here. It's not just reciting that. Because the fruit of our lips come from an attitude of where? Our inmost being, our heart, the scripture teaches. This is the root. And the root takes nourishment. And it's going to bear fruit of some kind, good or bad. And the fruit of my lips are supposed to be a result of what the roots are. God knows if we're faking it. You can fool the person next to you and raise your hands and sing the words. But God knows whether it's in vain or whether it's real. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to read to you verses 16 through 20. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? The answer, by the way, is no. Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. God recognizes what kind of fruit is coming out of our lips towards him, because it's not just what we say. He sees the root. And he knows that if the inward root is bad or it's evil, it doesn't matter what comes out here to fool those at the surface. God's looking deeper than that. He looks upon the what? The heart anyhow. But he knows the principle that which comes forth from the heart touches our lips. Look at Matthew chapter 15. I want you to look here. This is interesting. Matthew chapter 15. 7 through 9. part of 9. Jesus is speaking in Matthew chapter 15, verse 7. He says, "You hypocrites," Isaiah, the prophet in the Old Testament, says, "He was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." Hear this. God is not fooled by what we recite. He hears the words, but he looks a whole lot deeper. "The people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain." Means it has no value. They think they're doing something right, but they're only fooling themselves. They're not fooling me or God. Not fooling God. Look at verse 18 and 19. It says this, "But the things that come out of the mouth come from where? The heart. And these make a man or a person unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness," or lying, "slander. These are what make a person unclean." And the list is not limited to those things. The list is greater than that. So we look at worship and say, continually offer sacrifices to God and the fruit of our lips. It's not just reciting the words. It's not just the raising of hands. It's what is underneath all of that. Otherwise, we worship him in vain. We think we're doing what's right. But it's about the heart. God looks upon the heart. It's interesting, as we look at these scriptures, and we talk about sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips. If we were to look back at Hebrews 13, and you don't have to go there, I'm just going to read this to you. "The fruit of the lips that confess his name, and do not forget to do good and share with others, for such sacrifices God is pleased with." Do good. Care for others. It means this. We can sing all day long. And you can raise your hands all day long. You can even get sentimental and shed a tear. But our worship and praise to him does not stop there. It's about what do we do in our works or actions that will match our proclaiming of his name. Do we care for others? Do we sacrifice for the benefit of others? Are we mindful of people around us? Because when we do that, and we recite and we sing and we praise and we offer the fruit of our lips, when those things match, God is pleased. If you're a doer only, and you come in and do this during praise, God's not pleased. If you're just dancing around and doing all this and it looks real spiritual and you might prophesy and you might speak in tongues and give the interpretation and all this stuff, but when you walk out of this place and all week long, you're mistreating people, God's not pleased with any of your praise or worship. It's about what we proclaim, we live when nobody's watching. That's a sacrifice that God is pleased with. We can look at some outward signs, and they can be indicators, but they're not always indicators. You can look at, church attendance has been pretty good. And there's new faces all the time. And boy, we must be doing something right. And we praise, and we got really good music. And we got some talented people, and I feel his presence when I'm in the place. And boy, is that great. And the rest of the week, you just assume that God's blessing is there and we don't care for other people and we don't share with others. And no, we deceive ourselves. We deceive ourselves. God says we're to continually sacrifice the fruit of lips, which comes from the heart. And our heart is revealed all week long. Not just in the moment of each other's presence, in His presence singing. So we're going to take time and we're going to praise and we're going to worship and we're going to adore the Lord this morning. We're going to celebrate His grace. We're going to proclaim how great He is and how much we need Him. But it doesn't end when we leave this place. It's about how we conduct ourselves, how we care for people, how we share with others. And sometimes it involves sacrifice. God is pleased when that happens. Those sacrifices of praise, when our heart is right, He knows the words are matching. I guess as we enter into this time of praise and adoration, I guess we got to find out if we really worship Him in spirit, if we worship Him in truth. Or for us, it's just routine, or it's just a show. God sends a message like this to me, to us, to you. When I say send a message, I don't mean a message to me to give to you just. I mean the message for me personally, apart from being a pastor, just being a man. It says, Randy, sing and lift your hands. But your worship doesn't end there. Our reasonable worship is to present ourselves and build off the faith in Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of our sin to do what's right. The fruit of our lips to do right and to share with others that God is pleased with. Why don't you stand up all over this room, worship team, why don't you come? You've heard this said before, and as I say this, it's not an assumption that you don't understand it or you don't get it. But you know what? When it comes to Sunday and we're together, I'm not interested in you and I playing church. I'm just not. I'm just not interested in it. Not interested in it. I'm grateful for the talent that this church has and the heart of our worship team and some of our worship leaders. I'm so grateful. I really am. You're blessed. God has blessed this place. But it's not just about listening. You know, we want things to sound right to us. We want things to be on pitch and in tune. And we want all the technical stuff so that it sounds good to us. So that we're not distracted by anything that's out of place. We try to eliminate those barriers so it sounds right and we can just not be distracted. You know what? It's the same principle with God, only He doesn't care so much about the technical stuff and all of it being on pitch and things like that. He wants it to sound right in our hearts. And when this doesn't match this, it doesn't sound right to Him. Just like it wouldn't sound right to you if Jim starts singing a different song than Felicia's leading. And JW, well, he's got an acoustical guitar, but he can still make it scream. Ross is dropping his sticks and all this kind of stuff. And Tanner over here, being a young guy, takes his bass guitar by the neck and starts smashing his amp with it. No. Yeah, amen. Doesn't sound right. And Josh start messing around with different words and getting feedback, and it just would be like, whoa. I want you to know that's what it sounds like to God. When we sing, it all sounds good on the surface, but our hearts are far from Him because we don't do right. We don't share with others. God might be invisible to our eye, but He's real. It doesn't take away from His reality. If you're here and you don't believe in Him, I want you to know it doesn't take away from His reality. And you and I can sacrifice for the kids and the need before us. Don't think, well, God is more gracious and He's invisible, so I don't have to sacrifice. Listen, we need to sacrifice. Continually offer sacrifice unto God. He's pleased. And it brings His presence. And it brings His nearness. It draws out His compassion and character. Because He knows He's loved and it's sincere. Now, God's perfect, and we're not. But if you are not loved in your home, you don't feel the respect and the love, and somebody's coming to you asking for something, you just kind of go, you might do it because you're good. The party's like, you treat me like that? You come now with these nice words because you want something? Your heart's not for me or in relationship with me. You're far from me. But the one who comes to you in the home, who loves you and respects you and honors you, whether you bless them or you don't, they just love you. That person, when they come and ask, it's like you freely give. You're willing to sacrifice. Now, I know that's in human terms, but there's a parallel. We can't earn salvation, but we can live a life that remains in a blessable state under God, and we can take ourselves out of it. Continually offer up the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of your lips, because it comes from the heart, that these words would be true, the expressions would be true, and do good and share with others.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.